and gentlemen.
Let's go.
Where Brooklyn at? Where Brooklyn at? Where Brooklyn at?
Well, actually, I live in Delaware now, so does that make me a Delawarean?
Keep singing, girl.
You know, Beyonce is my friend in my head. They my people sometimes, too. You know, when I was a kid, I had an imaginary enemy. Like, does that make me crazy?
Life as P, presented by Say What Radio.
Hey, what's good, y'all? It's your host, Phoenix Ash. This is Life as P. Thank you so much for joining me. If you're a new listener, I thank you for stopping by. I appreciate whatever means in which you heard about me. Thank you for giving me a shot. If you are a repeat listener, you already know what it is. It's all love. You also already know what it is. It's spring, and I'm allergic to spring. So I may sound a little congested, a little raspy, whatever. I may cough some, you know, bear with me because, you know, spring is not my friend. Anywho, what's good with y'all? Y'all like? Yo, I had a couple of conversations this past week that really brought some things into perspective for me, that had me repeat some life lessons out loud and really evaluate some things. So I'm very thankful for the past week. Sometimes, you know, we learn lessons in a moment and we move on. We're like, oh, well, that was a lesson learned. But I think from time to time, if we express those lessons out loud, that we might even find more fruit from it. That, like, oh, you know, I ain't even really realizing, you know, in case nobody understands when I say more fruit, because someone asked me about this the other day, you know, I think of everything like harvest. And so I'm like, you know, you're harvesting more fruit, more vegetable. I don't know. Vegetable doesn't sound as good. So I think about fruit from a tree. You pluck it, you know, it grows, you pluck it, all this kind of stuff. But that's a show for another day. Anyhow, the conversations that I was having, and forgive me if you hear any noise in the background, I'm washing clothes because, you know, gotta like multitask. But I was thinking about wanting what you want. And when I say it like that, when you want what you want so bad that you're willing to do anything to get it. Now, there's some people out there, some grinders, some hustlers, some tremendously ambitious people are like, yeah, that's the way you're supposed to be. You're supposed to want it so bad that you do anything to get it. I don't necessarily believe in that because I feel like I don't want my integrity to be compromised. There's some things that we sometimes forced to happen. I've talked about that before, where like you forcing something to happen, and then on the tail end of that, you realize that not only was it not for you, but you forcing it made it very detrimental. A little bit last show, really, about my patience being short and, you know, making decisions based upon short patience and, you know, having to deal with the consequences and sometimes long-term consequences of making those kinds of decisions. And I think it kind of falls in line with, you know, wanting what you want, right? You know, wanting, I want to work in television, but I don't want it so bad that I'm willing to sleep with whomever, or have a train run on me, or whatever, do coke in a women's bathroom just because, you know, the person that I'm trying to impress is doing coke in a women's bathroom. Like, just not, I know it's really extreme, but, you know, I'm not willing to do certain things that's going to compromise my integrity. It's not, I don't want to compromise who I am and the boundaries that I set forth for myself in terms of life that I feel like keeps me balanced with the universe. I'm not willing to give up that balance with the universe in order to get what I want, because what I truly want is what's for me. If that makes any sense to you. What I truly want are the things and the people in my life that are for me. So, you know, relationships, you know, sometimes they're very rocky. You know, someone's basically running away from you or trying to pull away from you. And we do all the additional things to get them to stay. But, you know, and then we end up hurt later because we're like, you know, I did so much and I put so much into it. It's just like, well, because you wanted what you want. They've given you every sign. They've shown you every face of this is not going to work. I'm ready to let it go. I'm ready to go away. And the only reason why they're kind of lingering is because you're making it plain that your feelings are hurt. My feelings are hurt. And if you care about me and my feelings, you'll stay. But that's not necessarily true, because the longer I stay, the stronger your feelings and the harder it is for you to let go of me when it's time to go. So you kind of do yourself a disservice in that kind of mentality. And I think it's like that in various situations in our life. You know, I was talking with a young woman and she has interest in someone that I know. And, you know, like she wants my experience. And I'm very hesitant to give my experience with this person because I'm just like, I don't want to poison the well. Sure, I can give you this list of things that how this person has slighted me or whatever. But I'm not blind to the fact that who someone is for me is not necessarily who that person will be for you. I'm not blind to that. You know what I'm saying? Who I am for someone is not who I am going to be for someone else. Different people in our lives bring out different things. We're driven by different things, motivated by different things. We evolve as time goes on. We decide what parts of ourselves we want to work on and cut away. We decide what parts of ourselves we want to enhance and what new parts we want to put into our toolbox. So who somebody was for me 5-10 years ago is not going to be who they are for you in the present moment. Necessarily. Some people don't change. Some people are the same from person to person. I get that. But it's not for me to determine. It's not for me to say that this is who this is going to be for you. However, I will like brush over like this was my situation. I don't believe it's going to be yours. But, you know, if you're asking my details, here it is. And, you know, the person's like, well, I don't see any red flags. And all I'm giving is red flags. And I'm like, not only are the flags red, but they're on fire. I'm like, the flags are on fire, my dear. However, she had a plan and she had a purpose. And she was very intent on executing that plan and executing that purpose. And I, you know, cheer her on and I root for her. And I'm like, I hope that works for you. But it got me to thinking about like wanting what you want so much. So like what purpose would it serve to hear my opinion or my experience? Unless when you come across something similar, it's going to cause your spidey senses to tingle and you're going to pay attention. But if you're so adamant on what you want that you are willing to ignore all the warning, caution, yield, all the different signs, then what's the purpose of listening to my opinion? That's why, like, I don't try to speak on an ex or speak on an ex-friend or even an ex-employer to someone else to be like, oh, don't work there. The only thing I will tell you is don't go on tags. I mean, like, I really had a horrible experience on that app. But in general, I try not to speak on different places that I've worked or work relationships that I've had in terms of how this is going to be for you, because I'm aware that everybody does not have the same experience. You can put them in the same situation, even at the same time, and their experience is going to be different. There's going to be little nuances that just, you know, are individualistic. Did I say that word? I hope I said it right. But yeah, it really got me to thinking about like wanting what you want, you know, thinking about the past situations of my life where I wanted something and it was just, it didn't matter of all the things that were saying, no, this is not the time. No, this is not for you. And just plowing through and then having to get on the other side and deal with the consequences. I've had that situation like with buying a car where it was like, nope, I want this, I want this, I want this, and I want it now. And I want it now, and I'm going to go through all these loops to get what I want now. And then later being like, I didn't really want this. This is not what I thought it would be like. You know, I was very cautious when I was buying a house. The last time I was buying a house, I was looking at this one house, and I lost the bid to someone who was willing to waive inspection. And I felt like I was at a crossroads because the person who I lost the bid to ended up in a bad car accident and could not purchase the house. And so the seller came back around to me. And the seller basically wanted to pick up where we left off and, you know, wanted me to up my bid and consider waiving because, you know, they said something else because I was selling my house and they were like, you know, that was the hindrance for them because it was like, you know, the sale is contingent upon you selling your house. So they wanted like a guaranteed sale when the sale go through. And really, it just meant I wasn't your audience. Remember that show? Not your audience. But really, that's what it meant. I wasn't their audience, right? Because they were so apprehensive because I was selling my house that they didn't trust my bid or whatever, or my timing. And, you know, they wanted what they want and they went with someone else. Now, not to say that that situation is why the seller, the buyer ended up in a car accident. But had they taken their time, you know, things would have panned out and see. And my sale, you know, happened exactly when it was supposed to happen. And I would have been, you know, fine to purchase the house when I said I wanted to purchase it. And actually, it ended up holding me up. I ended up having to stay in a hotel for a little while and then having to stay with family and friends because I was in between houses. It was just a pain in the ass. But, you know, they wanted what they wanted. And they were willing to do anything to get it. And I was at a crossroads because I could have said, you know, I'll match whatever they're doing or whatever. Because I really did love the house. And it was the first house that I saw that reminded me of where I grew up in Brooklyn. And it reminded me so much that when I took Sadi over to the house, the first thing she said when we were going down the block, this looked like when we going to see Nani, which is, you know, what she calls my aunt. So, you know, I had in my head how perfect it was and she loved it and I loved it and the rooms were a good size and all this stuff. But in hindsight, I'm glad I didn't purchase it because to waive inspection, to do all these things, I don't know, like I could have had an electrical problem. I could have had all these things, whatever. Even the house that I ended up purchasing, you know, I still kind of wanted what I wanted. You know, they were like, you know, it's as is, whatever. And everything seemed cool. But, you know, as soon as somebody tell you as is, it means that they're aware that something has gone awry that they're not willing to fix. But I felt like, you know, I liked the block because it was a place where my child could play outside. She didn't have that experience. And I had that experience growing up where I played outside. And I feel like it helped with a lot of the things that I was going through. It also helped with me navigating my world and figuring out how to deal with other people and get out a lot of my mistakes. For real, for real. I struggled with getting along with other people when I was a kid. There's still some remnants of that now, but, you know, that's due to trauma. But I like the block and everything. But, you know, there were some things that had I taken my time, I might have paid attention to or I might have been able to reveal or I might have priced to see how much it's going to cost me to fix, you know. But I wanted what I wanted. And I don't regret buying my house at all. But a couple months ago, I started to be like, shit, like, oh my goodness. Well, I didn't take my time, but it's all panning out, but I have to make it pan out. Whereas, you know, if I dealt with the inconvenience for a little while longer, things may not have had to pan out so much. Maybe the seller, I probably still would have bought this house. Just location, family oriented. It worked for us. It's not an area that a lot of people in Maryland are, like, cling to. It doesn't even have the greatest reputation, but we got a good block, good set of folks, a whole bunch of kids my daughter's age. And that's really the gold in it, that my daughter is super happy and probably happier than she thought she would be. She's very afraid of the move. And then to find that she has friends, she didn't have like friends like this. She had school friends, people that she was friends with, and they didn't do a lot of play dates. Or I didn't do a lot of play dates. I don't know. But I don't know. I felt like the parents weren't very receptive to that, but whatever. So that just wasn't her thing. So now, you know, she comes home from school. Can I play outside? That's a major thing for her. Major. Everything I'm going through with this house, have gone through with this house is worth it for that right there. But I might have been able to save money. I might not have had to bid so high. The seller might have fixed a few things if I just took my time. You know, if it was supposed to be mine, some things would have that were looking like barriers would have been overcome and I would have been able to take my time. But that wasn't the case. You know, I want a new car so bad. I want a Lexus. I love Lexus. I'm in my 40s now and I'm like, you know, I want a luxury car. I want to treat myself. I want to, you know, feel good when I drive, which I don't feel bad at all. But, you know, there's certain things I just want to do for myself and provide for myself. And, you know, I'm trying very hard, like, not to just want what I want. I want a Lexus truck, but it's a bad time to buy a truck. You know, gas is ridiculous. I was driving a lot to Delaware to take my daughter to see her dad twice a month. Oh God, Lord, please. If it was twice a week, just no. But twice a month, you know, which was very heavy on my gas. I was paying tolls, all of that. So like financially, it's not the best move. I don't have a car note right now. So if I purchased a new car, I probably would have a car note. Not really looking forward to that. It's just, I have the itch and I'm like, I want to do it. But, you know, maybe I need to get a sedan because then, you know, I can have my luxury vehicle and I can, you know, feel good about it and feel like I did it for myself. But not, you know, pay the astronomical prices of gas and be feeling like a dun-dun, you know, in 3 months feeling like, oh my God, I'm spending so much money doing this, that, and the other, plus a car note. So I'm trying to work on not just wanting what I want because I have a tendency to be like, nope, I want it. And I'm going to make it work for me. You know, marriage is probably the only thing that eventually didn't work, but I made it work for me in the years that I did. Like, don't get it twisted. I was married for a long time because I made it work. I figured out a way. I figured out how to, you know, push some things aside. I figured out how to make some things look pretty. I figured out how to ignore some things and how to push forward and make up a partnership that, you know, worked for what our roles seemed to be. But as I get older, I would like to force less things and enjoy the beauty in things happen naturally, that being in the right place at the right time and rightly prepared. I would like to enjoy the fruit of that. And I'm seeing some of that. You know, when I got my writing contract, you know, that was very evident. I was in the right place at the right time, talked to the right person, had the right connection, and I was rightly prepared. I know what that feels like. It's amazing. Amazing. And I want that to trickle down into other portions of my life. You know, when I had my daughter, you know, I was just telling my friend the other day, I don't remember getting pregnant. Like, I don't remember the act. I don't. And it's not a slight to her father to be like, I don't know. It's not even that. I was married a long time. So let's not act like, you know, whatever. But I don't really remember. I don't know if it's a mental block, if I'm blocking it, whatever. But she came to be and it was so natural. I mean, yes, I got stitches, I took some hormones, but like that's what I did prior to with the other pregnancies, but it just didn't work. It was like, you know, we're late on the schedule to start this hormone treatment, but let's hurry up and take it and let's hurry up and do this. And it felt so forced and it felt so rushed, or like, you know, you're already pregnant and you this far along, you know, we're kind of past the deadline of when you should have gotten a cyclage, but let's do it anyway. Or, you know, you lost your mucus plug, but we're going to give you a cyclage anyway. You know, losing a mucus plug is a clear sign that you're about to go into labor and that this pregnancy is not going to last much longer. But, you know, so all these things like trying to force something to happen, like we're doing all this extra. And maybe that's somebody's road and it works for somebody. It did not work for me. When I was pregnant with Sadia, everything flowed so smoothly. You know, I found out I was pregnant. I got started with the hormone therapy in my first semester, my first trimester, you know, with the inserts. And then, you know, very smoothly went into the second trimester and started getting the progesterone shots in my legs. And, you know, I never had any like pregnancy issues. I didn't, you know, I remember when I was pregnant with the twins, you know, I like released a blood clot. It was crazy. I thought that was a miscarriage and it wasn't. But then later on ended up, you know, going into labor early. It was just really crazy. But with Sadia, like everything was just smooth. The only thing that wasn't smooth was her delivery. You know, she came out in two pushes. I didn't have time to get the epidural. She was born in her sack. It was a lot of issues at that. I was like, my goodness. But she made it. But without effort from me, honestly, because once I pushed her out, like, you know, I didn't detach that sack. That sack detached on its own. And it's kind of like, I don't know, protect her from something. I don't know. I'm very spiritual. So I kind of feel like, you know, that veil, that protection around her to be born without, I don't know what I'm really trying to say. I've had a few drinks, but, and they're wine coolers. You know, I'm lightweight. But anyhow, like, I didn't force it. I prayed about it or whatever, but there wasn't anything that I could really do about it. And, you know, she survived. And, you know, raising her, honestly, I have not had to force a thing. She is, for the most part, a pretty easy child to raise. I have to say that she is. She is wonderful. She has her moments. She has, you know, little things that I'm like, come on, girl. But like, she is like the perfect child for me. Because I don't know what I'm doing. I have no clue. None. You know, I didn't have a bunch of little sisters or little cousins to raise. My little cousins are like a year or two younger than me. So I didn't have the experience of caring for children my whole life. I always wanted children, but I didn't have. And like, she teaches me so much. She teaches me so much about humanity. She teaches me about how people develop. I watch her and figure out how she's thinking, and I'm like, oh, and she teaches me about myself. We have so many things in common. I feel like looking at her is watching myself develop. It's amazing. Amazing. But it's the pregnancy that I didn't force. It's the pregnancy. I didn't take Clomid. I didn't take medication. And there's nothing wrong with that if that's the route you're going. For me, those attempts didn't work for me. When I was not forcing it, when I was letting things happen naturally, and actually I was on a break. In my mind, I thought I was on a break. That I was like, you know what, I'm going to chill. I'm not going to have another pregnancy. You know, I just went through two pregnancies. I just lost three children. Let me relax. Bam, pregnant with Sadia. And I think, not that that's how everything goes in life, but I think for me, when I look at my personal patterns in life, that when I'm not forcing it and I'm letting it happen naturally, that's when the beauty happens. That's when the magic shows up. The friendships that I have in my life, you know, I've said this before, the people in my life who are really good friends, we hit it off right away. Except for like one. But for the most part, all of them, we were like instant best friends. And it seems weird, right? Because it's like, you don't even really know them, but I'm telling you, I have a friend who I met one day, and I don't even remember this, but she told me that I told her, you and I are going to be friends. And that was when we were, I think I was 13, she was 14, we were in a ninth grade. And like, I just talked to her yesterday. We talk all the time. We're still very good friends. You know, I have another friend, Deidre, my baby. You know, I met her the first day on a job in 2000. I think it was 2000, yes. And immediately, we were just like, this is back when AOL, you know, I'm telling my age, back when AOL, that's what, you know, my instant messenger was. And we hit it off over instant messenger. And, you know, she just was here last week, spending the weekend. So there's just people in my life that is like instant best friends. It's not forced. It's not, you know, I really want to be your friend, or I really, you know, my real connections, real networking are not, you know, people that I sought after, ran after and said, hey, I want to connect because of who you are or where you may be able to take me. But I like you as a person and I want you in my life. Those are the connections that truly helped me in my career and in my personal life. And those are the ones I'm thankful for, which is why I'd be like, I'm really not a network, because I don't know how to talk to you just because of what you do. I don't know how to talk to you, which has always been my problem, which is probably why I've always dated people who I have not necessarily had successful careers, because I don't know how to talk to you just because you're successful. You know, that's not the connection for me. I love that you're available and I could connect with you, but I want us to connect over something authentic, something that we truly have in common, or we just click. I love it when we just click, right? Don't you? So I'm trying to figure out how to balance that because, right, we want what we want and we want to get it. But I want to get it in a way that doesn't compromise me and doesn't feel forced, and it doesn't make me look like I'm chasing somebody else's career or I'm a user and I only want to be around someone because of what they could do for me or how they could take me higher. I don't know. I'm figuring that out. And in terms of my writing career, it's going to go how it's going to go, and it's going to go as far as it's going to go. I know I'm talented. I know that I write good books. I know that I would make an amazing writer for television. I know. We'll see how it goes. We'll see how I get there. I'm not going to get there by talking to you because of what you do. I can be in those circles because the circle, this is what the circle does. But the person I'm going to connect to is the person that I connect to about something else. You know, even if it's just our love for the kinds of television that we like, possibly. But I struggle with figuring out, like, because I just don't want to be, I know I'm not a user, but I don't want to be seen as such, you know. And when you have success, you know, there's people, like, I have some little bit of success with writing my books. And there's people who use that, like, you know, this is what I want from you. Strike up a whole conversation with me just because they, you know, want free writing tips, or they want to pick my brain about how to get published, or they want to know if I could look at a manuscript and edit it for them, you know, without pay. Jesus, no. So I know what it feels like, and I don't like it, and I don't like to issue it. So I'm trying to figure it out. And it's dangerous to just want what you want so blindly that you'll do whatever to get it. Doesn't matter what the red flags are. You know, like I said about Homegirl, I was like, you know, the flags are red and they're on fire. My friend's like, not only are they on fire, but they're wrapped around her. You know, like, don't burn yourself to the core and take yourself down in your plate. Figure out how to get what you want and still maintain your integrity and still maintain the good sense the Lord gave you and still recall the lessons you've learned and make use of them, and the tools that are in your toolbox, make use of them. Sometimes we want what we want. We get so blind that we forget that, hey, I got a tool for a situation like this. What Biggie said, I brought chrome for situations like this. Like, you know, you have a tool for situations like this. And if it's not panning out, don't panic. You don't have to force it. It could have been, its purpose could have just been a glimpse of what's to come. It could just be preparation for you. But don't panic and force it and be so like, I want this. And so I gotta, you know, do whatever to get it. Make it make sense for you. Make it make sense. All right. That's my soapbox. You know how I do. I actually ran a little long today, but I got a lot of thoughts and a little wine cooler. So you got a little extra. All right. If you want to support, I totally appreciate that. All my books are available on Amazon. Just look up the author, Phoenix Ash. I have a couple of books on Audible as well. Some of these books are about to come down in a little while because I just got my rights back. So I'm going to be switching it up a little bit, getting some new covers and stuff. Savage Fever is definitely on the way. I've been ducking people until I finish this last chapter. I'm like halfway through it. It's coming. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be great. I thank you so much for being so supportive, being up in my inbox with all your encouraging words. Your understanding, when I say, you know, life is kicking my ass, you guys are just so, so good to me, and I appreciate you. Until next time when we could exchange power, I love you guys. Peace.